Fun Kids Science Weekly just got even more scientific. With Brainiac Live, the live science show featuring all the experiments you're not allowed to do at home.
Hello, mind switched on, ears open, legs ready to run just in case things get a bit too dangerous? Good. Welcome along, we're ready. My name's Dan, this is the Fun Kids Science Weekly. This week we're sponsored by Brainiac Live. They've got a whole summer of shows happening in London, so we'll hear all about the incredibly mind-blowing and kind of explosive experiments they've got planned with the head Brainiac, Andy, in a little bit. Also, talking of danger, we'll chat about an element that is so reactive it'll blow up just by touching your hand, and we'll look at a few more clues that there may be life on Mars after all. That's on the way, and I'll answer some of your questions. First, let's catch up with one of our favourite geniuses on the Science Weekly. This is Professor Hallux.
Hallux's Hydration Help Desk. Call accepted.
Hello, Professor. Should I take a drink of water from a stream, like you see people doing in films when they're out in the countryside?
Well, it sounds like a lovely thing to do on a hot day, but not all water is clean, and drinking dirty water is a quick way to get very poorly. Whilst water in streams, ponds, and lakes might look refreshing, it's rarely as fresh as it looks. It will contain many microorganisms like algae and bacteria, which can give you a very upset tummy. Sometimes there's a water fountain at the park that can be appealing if you've been running around getting hot. The water is usually clean enough to drink, but don't put your mouth on the spout or you'll be passing germs around. You might accidentally gulp a mouthful of water when swimming, but it's definitely best not to regularly swallow swimming pool water. Although it won't do you much harm, there may be hair or skin flakes, or even worse, from all those swimmers' bodies. Yuck. Your garden hose is also out of bounds, I'm afraid. The plastic parts are made of chemicals that can be harmful. Oh, looks like a storm. Now, rainwater makes up a large part of our water supply, and if you have a weather station in your garden, you might find a glass full of water sitting in the rainfall gauge. It probably looks lovely and clean. So what's wrong with taking a swig? Nanobot, can you help?
The trouble is that the container that the glass is in might not be clean. And as rain falls, it can pick up pollution particles from the air. The same goes for snow. Oh, it can be great fun to catch snowflakes on your tongue. And mountaineers often use snow as a source of water. Fresh snow is often very clean. But again, it can get contaminated from the air through which it fell, or from things like the roads nearby.
So, whilst drinking rain and eating snow isn't likely to make you poorly, it's always better to use the taps in your house to pour yourself a drink. Care to pour us out a fun fact, Nanobot?
Scientists don't know exactly where all the water on Earth came from. Some think it's always been here. Others think that it came from outer space. Or more specifically, the Kuiper Belt. Billions of years ago, this region of the solar system sent enormous icy asteroids and comets crashing into planets. And in doing so, left icy deposits, which became oceans.
Maybe we should call water comet juice. Might make it more fun to drink.
Hallux's Hydration Help Desk, with support from the Children's Health Fund. Find out more at funkidslive.com/Hallux.
If you've got a science question rattling around your brain, remember, it is so easy to get it answered. All you need to do, find the Fun Kids Science Weekly over on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. I'll see it. There's a little comment box at the bottom where you drop your question. I'll have a look, and then I'll do all the hard work, all the research. All you need to do is sit there, press play on this podcast, and have it all spelled out for you nice and simple. This is from Misha, who is 10 years old. Hey, Misha, who asks, how do braces work? Well, did you know, Misha, teeth are stronger than iron and steel. And braces are normally, they're like a neat little metal train track with a few elastic bands thrown in. They're on your teeth, and they kind of help sort them out if they've gone a little bit wrong. Because what happens, Misha, is that when your baby teeth fall out and big teeth grow in place of them, sometimes they do that a little bit awkwardly. when there's quite a lot of space for them to grow into. So they lift into funny angles. And braces are put on to put a constant force on your teeth to move them into the correct place. So over like a year or so, the braces will gently force the teeth to be where they're meant to. Thanks for the question, Misha. Also, hello to Landon and Wyatt, who are writing in from St. Louis, Missouri, in the United States of America. Wyatt asks, what's the most deadly animal on Earth? Well, Wyatt, there's a lot of different discussion on this, actually, because the hippo is aggressive. Are we counting venomous creatures in that as well? Then we need to look through all the snakes. It'll take us ages to figure it all out in the jungle. But in terms of sheer deaths every year, the mosquito is the most deadly. They are vectors for loads of diseases. They carry them, including malaria, dengue fever, Zika virus, and collectively, all of those diseases kill about 725,000 people every year. And the mosquito acts as kind of like a bus to all of those dangerous viruses. Also, hello Landon, who asks why water frozen in the freezer makes a block of ice, but frozen rain turns to snow. A couple of reasons for this, Landon. It's because water in your freezer probably gets a little bit colder than it does in the air. When it's out in the air falling from the sky, the temperature changes, so it warms up slightly. And also because it's more together, it's more packed in the freezer to make a block of ice. Rainwater forms tiny little bits of ice, and these join together to make snowflakes. So there you go. Cheers, guys, from Missouri in America. Thanks for your questions. If you've got something that you need answered on the show, leave it for me as a review for the Fun Kids Science Weekly over on Apple Podcasts. It's the Fun Kids Science Weekly. Now, this summer, you can join the simply fearless brainiacs and learn more about science in person than you ever have or can really do before. Because Brainiac are bringing their live show to the West End in London through summer. And Andy Joyce is the head brainiac, and he's on the line to tell us more. Hey, Andy.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well, thank you. Now, I guess we should start with the start of your live show. There must be so much that you want to do science-wise on a stage. How do you begin even planning something like this?
Well, we've been on the road doing this show for the best part of sort of 10 years now, and we've got so much content. What we find the most difficult is to find the best stuff to put on stage. The most fun part of Brainiac is obviously doing all the testing and working out what we can do on stage. More importantly, what we can't do on stage, and then make sure that we can and it's all nice and safe. But we also have a few explosions and also a bit of fun with some liquid nitrogen and gases. But yeah, the difficulty is deciding what the content is. But I think we've got a really, really good show for you this summer.
Well, before we figure out and find out what is in the show, I'm interested, if you've been doing this for 10 years and you've had to drop some experiments along the way, why have you ended up losing them? Have things got perhaps a bit too dangerous?
Well, occasionally, yes. We have done a few experiments that might go a little bit wrong. But I think when we come and do something like the West End, and we've only got 1 hour to fit in as much as we can, we want to put the biggest, loudest, most dangerous stuff on stage for our audience to see. But we have had to drop some stuff over the years. But that is the hard thing. The testing progress is the hardest thing to decide what we're putting in the show.
Where do you test things out?
So we work very closely with Brighton University, and we use a lab down there. It's a bit of a disused lab, but we're allowed to use, and sometimes, if things go wrong in there, it's okay. But we also go to a lot of big airfields where there's nothing around, so nothing can go wrong.
So we've talked about what isn't in the show. Andy, just give us a little flavour of what we can see this summer at the Garrick.
Okay, well, without giving too much away, we start very explosive. We've got scenes like things you can run through, where we test the properties of different items that we can run through. We've got a spinning chair powered by, I won't give too much away there, but powered by some rockets. We've also got some calcium carbide that we test what you can do with calcium carbide, liquid nitrogen, and we even do a hearing test on the audience.
There's a lot going on. It makes me wonder how you come up with these new experiments. Can you just talk me through how, you know, experimenting with your team works? What happens? Do one of you turn up with an idea, then you all test it out? Do you sit there and brainstorm?
Yeah, I mean, we do a lot of brainstorming, but generally one of us will have an idea, or we will speak to our science consultants and they'll tell us that there's a new experiment on the horizon, or we'll even find stuff online and then try and go into a testing phase where we'll try and make it bigger and better. But generally, one of us comes up with an idea, and then we see whether we can, you know, what we can do with it and test it to its absolute limits before we put it on stage, obviously. But yeah, we do all get round and brainstorm a lot as well. Lots of people want to do some silly things, but at the same time, we want to make sure that the science is real and we're all learning along the way as well.
What's the most ridiculous and probably dangerous idea that any of you have ever brought to the table?
The most ridiculous idea. Well, we were deciding to put gas inside balloons and blow them up. So we were taking things like hydrogen and oxygen and putting them inside a balloon and then setting it on fire. Obviously very dangerous, so don't try this at home type thing. But it depends what sort of mix you get inside the balloon for the explosion. If you don't get the right hydrogen and oxygen mix and you get it a little bit wrong, it can be extremely loud. It was definitely the noisiest thing we did, and we did that at Brighton University. And I remember doing it in a lab, and the clock fell off the wall. So, yeah, it was pretty dangerous.
You literally moved time.
Yeah.
So you're doing all these experiments, Andy, and you know, if you're doing a show, especially a long run, like over the summer,
yeah,
more or less with experiments like this, the same things are happening every single time. Over the 10 years that you've been doing Brainiac shows, have you learned new things about science?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like I said, when we first started this show, it was a completely different show to probably where it is now. We've learned a lot about all sorts of chemicals. We've learned a lot about all sorts of properties and things you can run through. For example, that scene, we tested running through things like cling film, tin foil. Sounds nice and easy, but not maybe as easy as you think. We've then added fence panels. We then added plasterboard. And we even tried to run through a little bit of netting, which I can assure you isn't the easiest thing to do. But we have learned lots of new things along the way. Yeah, definitely.
Are there any science experiments, maybe not ones that you're doing in the big show, but something that can, I don't know, like get us ready for it, maybe things that we can do at home?
Yeah, definitely. Well, very quickly, if you're sat where you are right now, what you could do is if you hold your arm out. Now, I know you can't see this, but if you hold your arm out in the air and you look at your elbow, you know your elbow, and underneath your elbow, there's like a bit of skin, like a flappy bit of skin.
Yeah.
So if you hold on to that for me right now, grab it.
Doing it.
And then after three, I want you to squeeze it. Ready? Really easy. One, two, three, squeeze it.
Yeah.
Does it hurt?
No, of course it doesn't.
Doesn't hurt. No, okay, so just keep your arm out. Now, you can all do this at home as well. If you go a little bit further up your arm, underneath your bicep, if you like, and just a bit further up and give that a real pinch after three. Ready? One, two, three.
Yeah, that hurts a lot more.
That hurts. Okay, so there's a reason for this. So in your body, you've got a nerve endings dotted all over your body, and they report pain to your brain. So some parts of your body have got more nerve endings than others. So your elbow, for example, hasn't got as much as your arm. If you try behind your knees, that hurts a little bit. But the worst one, I think, is probably your lip. If you give that a good squeeze, there's lots of nerve endings in there. Lots of pain gets sent to the brain, and that's why them sort of things hurt. So yeah, you could try that.
Now, you're doing all these experiments, you know, you've got your place down in Brighton, and because you do science for a living, Andy, I was wondering, is there any huge scientific mystery that you'd love to solve? A big experiment that you want to get done to find the answer?
Well, that's a great question. A big experiment I'd like to find the answer to. This morning, I'd like to find out why the trains were all late, but that's probably not a science experiment to discover. Oh, goodness me, what would I like to discover? That is a question put me on the spot. I would like to know, and I know this is really, really impossible, but I would like to know how close you can get to the sun in a spaceship. That would be quite cool, before it melts. That would be quite fun to find out. Very Brainiac as well.
Well, let's try and take that to a Brainiac level then, Andy. How do you is there a way that you could potentially replicate those type, you know, intense heat or the gas on a stage without, you know, damaging too many people?
Maybe not without damaging too many people, but we have tested things like just on the opposite scale of things. We have liquid nitrogen in our show, which is obviously completely opposite of the sun being really, really hot. Liquid nitrogen is really, really cold. So it's like minus 196 degrees. And it like boils really, really cold. You know, like a kettle boils hot. Liquid nitrogen boils cold. Now, did an experiment the other week where we put some liquid nitrogen inside a bottle, put the lid on, and what happens is the bottle starts to expand, get bigger and bigger and bigger, and basically the bottle ends up blowing up. So we did work out how to do that on stage. So, yeah, definitely not one to do at home, but we do that live on stage, which is totally live and dangerous. Anything can happen. But yeah, that's an experiment. I urge you to come and see. And I was very pleased that we found out you could make a huge explosion out of it. Really fun.
Andy, thank you so much. So Brainiac Live, it's on from July the 31st to September the 1st. It's on at the Garrick Theatre, perfectly through summer. Now, if you're listening to this, I know that you love your science. So if you want to see some of these things that we talk about live on stage, get proper involved with danger in there as well, you need to check out Brainiac Live. You can find out loads more at funkidslive.com. Andy, thank you so much for telling us more.
Thanks for having us. See you soon.
Today's Dangerous Dan is about a radioactive element that is so explosive, just the touch of your hand could make it blow up. Francium was discovered at the Curie Institute in Paris, hence the name francium. It's got the atomic number 87. It's an alkali metal, which means it's extremely reactive. If francium is barely touched with water, it'll explode and it'll burn. Even the moisture on your skin is enough to spark the whole thing up. Now, because it's so dangerous, it's incredibly rare. It's the second rarest naturally occurring element. Only about 20 grams of it can be found in the entire Earth's crust. Also, because of its instability and how reactive and radioactive it isn't really made by us either. The amount of man-made francium isn't even enough to be weighed. There isn't really a point to it either. Scientists think that maybe it could be used to treat some cancers, but simply, it's just too hard, too radioactive and too reactive to work with. It's quite a technical Dangerous Dan today, but I mean, come on, it was worth it, right? A radioactive metal that can explode just by touching your skin? That's got to go on our deadly list. We're checking in with Techno Mum right now. This is from her brand new Connected World series, where we're looking at how the internet and everything smart that you can now get for your home helps keep you safe.
Techno Mum's Connected World.
We're buying some of those smart light bulbs, the one you can turn on and off using an app on your phone, even when you're not in.
These will come in handy when we go to Gran, so we don't come back home to a dark house.
Yeah, a few clicks on my phone and let there be light! On the way home, Mum was telling me how smart technology is becoming super popular with all these new gadgets for our homes.
If a smart gadget knew what time I left work, using the sat-nav in the car, it could work out when to switch on the heating so it's nice and warm at home when I arrive. And did you know that you can get smart fridges now?
A smart fridge? Like one that's been to university?
Not quite. A smart fridge can keep a log of what's inside by recording what's gone in and out as you use stuff up.
And because it could talk to the cloud, that's the internet, I suppose it could go online and order more of your favourite food. Just think, we'd never run low on ice cream again. Brilliant!
And knowing what you've got in the fridge, it could use the internet to find out what recipes you could make and send them to your smartphone. It's all part of what people are calling the Internet of Things, connecting types of systems, machines, gadgets, apps, and even people.
Cool.
But remember, Tim, the cloud contains a massive wealth of information. It's not just online grocery orders and recipe books. What if your fridge found out, say, that the food in your fridge was really high in fats? And more than would be healthy to eat in a week.
I suppose it could check our online fitness records, and if it sees that we're not doing enough exercise, could download fitness information and tips to our smartphones.
Or replace the ice cream with loads of celery instead.
Oh, you like having another parent.
Hey, I like ice cream too. You can see how it's important to have rules about sharing information, wherever that information might be.
So, where are these rules? Does the government make them up?
Partly. But it's up to us to check what we've agreed to share.
How do I do that?
It's pretty simple. By being careful about what we agree to share when we're online and checking the settings of the apps that you have. It's definitely worth asking an adult to help.
So, I could tell my fitness tracker that I don't want it to share any information about me?
That's right. Anytime you add an app, it's worth checking, or checking with me, that the information it holds is only used in the ways that you want.
I mean, I suppose it's good to be healthy.
It is. And the connected world could really help us live more efficient and healthier lives.
As long as my life includes double choc ice cream. At least some of the time. That would suit me.
Techno Mum's Connected World. With support from the Institution of Engineering and Technology. Find out more at fungidslive.com/technomum.
Right, let's talk about all the science that has been in your news this week. bacteria living on the skin of frogs could protect them against a deadly virus. Work by scientists in the UK could have saved species by being wiped out from a disease. They found a bacteria on the slimy skin of the frogs which could help stop the spread of ranavirus, which is killing loads of frogs all around the country. Also, get ready for this, because we're constantly talking about terrible news around the world, you know, plastic that's been found in the ocean, the fact that our planet's getting hotter. But this is brilliant, because for the first time since the Industrial Revolution, Britain is getting more of its power from clean energy than fossil fuels. The National Grid says that 48% of electricity used is now generated by nuclear, wind and solar power, and 47% of it, a fraction lower, by oil and gas, which is fantastic as we try to save the planet. And finally, NASA's Mars rover Curiosity has recorded its largest measurement of methane. The robot frequently sniffs the red planet for gas, but it's never before smelled such a large amount of it. Now, look, I know this sounds dull, but believe me, this is important, because methane is mostly made by living things. If the rover has found a lot, maybe it means we're finally about to see life on Mars. And that is it for this week on the Fun Kids Science Weekly. Remember, if you've got a question that you want answered on this show, if you want me to do all the legwork, all the tough stuff, and actually figure it out for you, you need to leave it so I can see it as a review over on Apple Podcasts. Search for the Fun Kids Science Weekly on there. You can leave your name so I know who to say hello to. Also, drop us 5 stars because that helps me see it. Then there's a little comment box right at the bottom. That's where you leave the question as a review. And hopefully, I'll say hello in the next few weeks. Also, while you're on Apple Podcasts, it's one of the brilliant places that you can hear all our fantastic science series that we do on Fun Kids. You've heard some today. Professor Hallux, Techno Mum. We've got the full series of those and loads more over on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, Google Podcasts. It's on the Fun Kids app and over at FunKidsLive.com. And Fun Kids, we're a children's radio station in the UK. You can listen to us all over the country on your DAB digital radio, on that free Fun Kids app, and as always at FunKidsLive.com. I'll see you soon. Bye!
Fun Kids Science Weekly just got even more scientific. With Brainiac Live, the live science show featuring all the experiments you're not allowed to do at home.